Explanation of the surah. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, O ye enfolded in the shawl. The words in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is addressed in this verse reflect his inner state at the time of revelation of this surah. The word muzzammil is actually mutazammil, and the letter tha has been assimilated into the letter za. Similar is the case with the word muddassir. It refers to a person who has enwrapped himself in his shawl. Such generally is the situation of a person who is worried because of the circumstances he is facing and is also disgruntled with the people around him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was warning people of the punishment which was looming over them. However, these people were so indifferent and averse to this message that they would pounce on the Prophet and regard his sympathy and anxiety to be mere madness. What to speak of listening to this message? In such circumstances, it was but natural for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remain worried and thoughtful, and in this state of anxiety, a person's greatest sympathizer is his shawl, as indicated earlier. He can just wrap himself in it whenever he wants and dissociate from his fellow brethren and associate more closely with his Creator. It also needs to be kept in consideration that a shawl was an essential part of the Arabic dress of those times, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also keep a shawl with him. It is evident from various narratives that even before being called to prophethood, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was earnestly searching for the truth. He would remain secluded in a very similar manner as described in this verse until he was shown the light by the Almighty, as is referred to in Surah Dhuha. Later these feelings overcame him when he personally experienced the aversion of his sick nation to its medicine and its animosity towards its healer. The word muzzammil is pointing to the feelings of the Prophet which he experienced in this state. Some of our exegetes are of the opinion that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been addressed in this manner because he was sleeping while enwrapped in his shawl, and this verse directed him to get up and stand in prayer before his Lord. This interpretation is interesting because it seems to be in harmony with subsequent verses. However, in my opinion, this view is incorrect. Never in any phase of his life was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam among people who would sleep without any worry and wrapped in a shawl. He would always sleep in a state of worry, and like the day, a better part of his night would also be spent in worry and in remembering God. There is not a single verse in the Quran which in any manner insinuates that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ever admonished for being indifferent to God. Quite contrary to this, he has been lovingly chided in the Quran for burdening himself with much more than what was required of him by the Almighty. However, we do find in the Quran at various places a mention of his worry and anxiety when he began to encounter hardships in his preaching mission. In order to strengthen his resolve and to relieve him of his worries, on such instances he was advised to stand up in prayer, in particular the Tahajjud prayer. In my opinion, the verse under discussion is one such instance. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ وَانْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Stand by night, but a little, half the night, or decrease it a little, or increase it a little more, and recite the Quran in slow measured tone. Mentioned in these verses is the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam should adopt to alleviate his worry and anxiety reflected in the word muzzammil. In fact, when he was faced with worries in the cause of his preaching mission, the Quran prescribed precisely the same remedy to him. I have tried as best as I could to explain the underlying wisdom in this. In this surah, since the effectiveness of the remedy and its value have been explained subsequently, I will content myself to merely explaining these verses. It will inshallah become evident from this the blessings which are concealed for a true believer if he offers the tahajjud prayer. It will also become clear how this prayer rejuvenates his energy and strengthens his faith and resolve. In the verses, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا خَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ وَانْقُصْ مِنْهُ خَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, night refers to the last half of the night when a person gets up after sleeping a while. The subsequently mentioned expression, نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ, refers to this. It is this time for the tahajjud prayer which is evident from the practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is also very apt for the objective it has been prescribed. This time period can be equal to half the night and it can also be lesser than it or a little more. It is very difficult to wake up in the later part of the night and there is always the possibility that one is not able to get up at the right time. For this reason, some latitude has been given with regard to the time span so that this may reduce any hardship. Although it is evident from the word of the Quran that standing in prayer for half of the night is more blessed than any other time span, however, there is a possibility of slight variation in this. In the expression, وَرَتَّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, we are informed of the right way of reading the Quran in this prayer. It should be read in a slow, measured tone. Consequently, it is evident from various narratives that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read the Quran with a melodious and tuneful voice and would stop at each verse. At times, he would repeat a single verse many times, overcome with emotion. Moreover, he would seek refuge with the Almighty on verses which would depict punishment and torment and express gratitude on verses which would depict mercy. As an immediate compliance to some verses which would implicitly or explicitly ask him to prostrate, he would bow down in prostration. It is this way of recital which is in accordance with the guidance of God and is also recorded in prophetic narratives. Moreover, it is this very way which could be of benefit vis-a-vis the purpose of revelation of the Quran. However, this way of reading the Quran only remained in currency so long as people regarded it to be a book worthy of reflection and deliberation and a source of guidance for their life. Later, when Quranic recital became only a means of gathering reward for one's own self or transferring the reward of the recital to a departed soul, it came to be read in the manner it is being read by our memorizers in the Taraweeh and the Shabina prayers.
إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا, soon we shall lay on you the burden of a heavy word. Mentioned in these words is the great objective for which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was directed to stand up in prayer by night. It is in preparation for and as an initial training to bear the burden of a heavy word that he was asked to do this. Our exegetes differ in ascertaining what this heavy word refers to. My mentor, Hamiduddin Farahi, regards it to mean the responsibility of open warning, or inzar-e-am, mentioned in Surah Muddassir in the following words, Ya ayyuhal muddassir, kum fa'anzir. O ye enfolded in the shawl, arise and warn people. I would also endorse this views because it was after this phase of delivering open warning that the phases of acquittal or bara, migration or hijra, and war or qital ensued. These were the toughest phases of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which both he and his companions passed through such severe tests that one shudders merely on imagining them. It is evident from this discussion that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was directed to stand in the tahajjud prayer to prepare for the great jihad which he and his companions were about to face in their struggle for the establishment of Islam. It is this distinctive feature of the struggle which distinguishes it from all other movements. Before other material means are provided for it, it is essential that its participants have a true comprehension of God, a strong faith, an unshakable resolve, and complete trust and conviction in the Almighty. The sole method to achieve these traits is the prayer. In fact, the tahajjud prayer, on the condition that it is offered the way we have been directed to offer it.
It is on this bedrock that the struggle for the establishment of Islam rests. If the edifice of religion is raised without this foundation, then it will collapse even before it comes into being.
Inna nashi'ata al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila.
Indeed, this rising by night is very suitable for the heart's resolve and for the comprehension of speech. In these verses, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informed of the underlying reason and wisdom for being directed to stand up in prayer by night. The word nashiatun is from the word nasha'a, meaning to get up. Like aqiba and afiya, it is a verbal noun. The expression nashiatul layl would mean standing up by night. It is evident from this word that the time of tahajjud begins after a person gets up from sleep, which is the later part of the night. It is indeed very difficult to get up at this time, since one's sleep is dearest to one at this time. However, if a person is able to overcome this trial, then no time is more favorable for him to remember God and to understand His book. The person who is blessed by the Almighty with the urge to get up at this blessed time is indeed very fortunate. Firstly, he finds in himself the power and strength to overcome his base desires, which become instrumental in making him capable of reforming and rehabilitating his soul. Secondly, the Almighty, who is the creator of night and day, has reserved this time for sending down His blessings and favors, and the doors to these blessings are opened for those who value it and come to the presence of God to ask for His mercy and blessings. The expression ashaddu wat'a portrays the effects of getting up at night for the prayer. When a person gets up from his bed and after making ablutions stands up in prayer, he finds his feet are firmly grounded. This actually refers to the complete devotion of the mind, peace of the heart, and vigilance of the intellect. If a person has a worried mind and a heart devoid of peace, his feet do not strongly hold ground. In this state, he is not able to carry out the smallest of tasks, what to speak of big ones. In other words, by this expression, one gets to know of the inner self of a person through his outer self. Some exegetes have taken it to mean that getting up in the night is a means of fully trampling one's soul. Although this interpretation is linguistically possible, later verses are not in harmony with it. My interpretation has also been adopted by other exegetes. However, they have not alluded to the fact that feet being firmly grounded actually refers to the devotion and resolve of the heart and mind. The expression wa aqwa muqila implies that since this time is specifically suited for the mind's peace and heart's attentiveness, whatever comes out of one's tongue touches the right strings of the heart and is readily received by one's intellect. A person accepts it as if it was the call of his own heart, and for other listeners too, its effect is very profound and most desirable. It is evident from various narratives that other indications that the incident of the jinn hearing the Quran mentioned in Surah Jinn took place when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reading it in the tahajjud prayer. They were so deeply moved by it that not only they embraced faith but also started calling others to this book. The great Caliph Umar radiyallahu anhu too embraced faith when he once heard the Quran. It is evident from these details that reading the Quran in the tahajjud prayer according to the way taught by God is not only beneficial for the inner purification and training of the person himself, but also at times is beneficial in reviving others, whether they are from men or from the jinn.